Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. Once again, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. We missed last week's show in honor of the holiday, so hopefully everybody had a great weekend and a long holiday weekend, but we are back live and just ready to move forward. Just a few housekeeping things. I want to remind you that the chat line is open. If you are listening by way of chat, you do have to be a registered follower in order for us to know here that you do have a comment or a question. If you have not registered, it may be better for you to just call in and use the 818-691-7406 number if you've not already registered as a follower of the show. You can do that later, but if you have a question or a comment for tonight, it just may be easier for you to call in rather than trying to register at this point. If you are listening and you have a comment or a question, and I noticed that some of you have maybe selected the number one already, that you have questions and comments, so I'm not sure if you're doing that or have one, but certainly just hang on and we will get to you that way. But if you do have a question or a comment, you only need to select the number one if you do want to be brought into queue here so that we can have you ask your question or make your comment. You only have to do that if you do have a question or comment, and we will bring you in and identify you by way of giving your area code and the last four digits of the number that you are calling from for the show. So basically we'll give you, if you call in from 770, I'll say 770 and give you the last four digits of your number. So if you're like me, you probably have to look at that again and remember your last four digits, but that's how I will identify you to bring you in. Tonight's topic, we did a little bit of changing to this. Received some calls after posting the topic and the details of the topic. I received several calls and just realized, and surprisingly so, I just kind of realized I didn't think that people would kind of start calling before, because I didn't think that this would really register to a lot of people without hearing the topic or going more deep into the topic. I didn't think that it would really register to anyone or a lot of people right off the bat without just kind of going into more depth or that person taking the time to go into more depth. But this is a topic I want to just kind of share with you how this topic came about. I was sitting actually working, and I often kind of have the TV on or something going as I'm working, and this, I heard this word codependency, and it just drew my attention, went just directly to the TV about codependency. So I started searching, and thankfully so, because there's so many characteristics that I can associate or I did associate with my life, and respectively so, it seemingly that others did as well because of the calls that came in after posting it. So I'm thankful again that topics are coming up for this show that seem to be beneficial to at least those people who are willing and who are wanting to acknowledge change in their lives and see those areas where there's change needed. And I think if everyone really looked into their lives, there's always something there to change. We should always be growing and growing to better ourselves. So I'm thankful for that and just wanted to share that before going into tonight's topic, which is codependency. Basically, codependency is an unhealthy love and a tendency to behave in an overly passive or excessively caretaking way that could potentially harm one's relationship or the quality of his or her life. And I want you to kind of keep hold of that, putting focus on passive, overly passive, and excessively caretaking, because they're both equally probably just as dangerous as the others when they're applying or applicable to our lives. So keep in mind as I go through, keep your mind on the word passive, overly passive, and excessively caretaking ways, because it's been determined that these things could potentially cause harm to your relationships and the quality of your life, and not just your quality of life, but even the people that are in your life that you are maybe being codependent upon or to. So that's kind of the definition, just a kind of brief synopsis of what codependency is. It also involves a person putting their own needs kind of to the back burner, but having an excessively preoccupied attitude towards the needs of others, which is not a good thing. And so, again, these are some things that just right off the bat I could instantly relate to. And originally the term was developed as a way to describe basically behaviors that developed from people that were living or dealing with alcoholics, people who were addicted to alcohol. So this is where the term codependency kind of generated from. And this is why I think many people feel that they really can't relate or associate their lives to this if they don't have someone that they're dealing with that is an alcoholic. So this is where it originally came from. And, again, this is why I think many people just kind of look at this and think, well, you know, that's not me. That's not applicable to my life. But it's really, really important, as we say many times on the show, it's really, really important for you to kind of dissect your life and start to think about your life. Stop allowing people to think for us. Stop allowing what people feed to us to be true without going into research. And on the flip side of that, everything that you hear is not for you either. I mean, everything should be in balance. We can kind of hear things and we can take them on, dissect them. If it's for you, if it's applicable to your life, take it in. Do something with it. If it's not, don't make it about your life. And I think sometimes people do that as well. You know, everything that they hear is about them, or they feel like they have to incorporate it into their lives. So it is important just to realize that codependency is part of all of our lives in some aspect. Maybe not to the same degree, but it is a part of our lives. It could be in our relationships. It is in our relationships, such as family, your work relationship, meaning, you know, you can just kind of be a workaholic for different reasons. It could be part of a friendship relationship, certainly romantic. It could be our peers and our community, couples, companions, and certainly I mentioned family, but to take it a bit further, it could be interesting to me. It could be, and it is, codependent parents or caretakers, if we want to call them caretakers. But that was interesting to me because it really, again, I try with these topics, we both, Tika and I, try to apply these things to our lives. So we look for things in ways that we can grow as well. So the codependent parent just kind of stood out as well. There also, codependency also relates to people who are considered to be people pleasers. Basically, I'm sure everybody knows what that is, but people pleasers are just kind of those people who are always seeking to please everyone else. And that could be dangerous as well. When I read the description earlier, I asked you just to kind of to remember passive, overly passive, and excessively caretaking ways. So we're going to go ahead and look at those words that I kind of wanted to pull out. And again, in reading codependency, it's basically an unhealthy love. And again, we can love our families, our friends, and so forth. So it doesn't mean that it's exactly a relationship. I want you to think of this in all areas of relationships. But basically, it's an unhealthy love and a tendency and or a tendency to behave in an overly passive or excessively caretaking way. So keep that in mind. And I want to look more at passive and excessively caretaking. Passive, and again, I really do ask you all to kind of, as you go about your life and start to apply things to your life, think about these words. Look them up. Find out what other words, what that word stands for, another word that means the same thing, basically. passive, I found that basically means lifeless. Several other words were attached to passive, but lifeless just stood out the most to me. And that's exactly what it means, that basically lifeless. And I want you to kind of get an idea of this. Picture someone, or maybe it's you, that just seems lifeless to you. Or maybe if you heard someone say, you know, if you overheard someone say and they didn't know that you were listening, that they perceived you to be a bit lifeless, what would that do to you? What would that mean to you? And how would you visualize yourself in order to determine what would make a person say that? So I think being lifeless or considering yourself or someone else considering you to be lifeless is a tough pill to swallow, so to speak. So just think about that for a minute. If you overheard that conversation, how would that make you feel? And I just must be honest tonight with you all, as I always try to be, particularly when I'm, you know, applying this to my life. You know, I can really see, as I said early on in the show, where this was me at some point in my life, because you try to be everything for everyone. You try to make everybody else happy. You try to do everything that anyone asks you to do. And it in a sense, it really ends up killing you inside, basically, if you continue to do this way. I thank God that this is not me now, and I've learned to say no. Maybe that's a better way to put it as well. Sometimes you just have to be okay with saying no without feeling guilty. But in order to do that, there has to be some confidence about yourself. There has to be some love about yourself. And as we go further, as one of the callers called me yesterday, I believe, you know, this person was kind of advising me or informing me that in figuring out all this stuff, they realized that there were some insecurities there in their life, and some things that they needed to deal with, and thankfully that they are dealing with them. So it's really about being honest about change and stop trying to hide who we really are. So I'm just thankful that for me and for some of the others that we are looking to do that. So another example, just to kind of bring this in a little bit deeper to you, think of it this way. What if, or think of it, if someone asks you, or are you that person, or do you know someone like this, if you're always the one saying, we'll go eat where you want to go, we'll do what you want to do, whatever time you want to do it, whatever you want to eat, wherever you want to go, how you want to do it, there are people that are always okay with that, all the time, knowing that they really do want to go somewhere else. They may say, you can say you want chicken today or steak today. They may have had that last night, but because they are trying to be pleasing to you, they will say, let's just go wherever you want. And that becomes a pattern in life. Now, what I think this does to many people and to many relationships, and this is just my opinion, nothing to back this up, of course, but I think eventually the more we do that, it sometimes can set up some bitterness for that in that relationship and for that person, because I think what we're really wanting and what we're really saying or hoping is that at some point, sometimes somebody would say, no, let's just go where you want to go today. Let's eat what you want. Let's do what you want today. But some people will never say that, because if you are expressing that I'm okay, let's just do what you want, and if that's you all the time, that is an issue. We should sometimes be able to say, well, no, let's go here. Or, I want to do this. What do you think about this? At least have an opinion. Let's not get so caught up to dancing to the beat of someone else's drum, so to speak. Again, I can remember this being me. I would go wherever someone else. It just didn't seem to be that big of an issue to me, but when it's excessive, when it's not the norm, because we shouldn't always want to go where everybody else wants to go or do just what everybody else wants to do. So I can relate when it was a time, but during that time, it was more important. And by no way am I saying that it should always be about you, 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 or me, 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 but during that time where I'm making those decisions always, I realized more so in really going through this topic that at that time it was more important, not in just areas such as that in my life, but it was more important for me to feel like that other person is doing exactly what they're wanting to do and that they are happy, minimizing all the time how I felt and what I wanted to do. And that was something else that one of the callers shared that called in, you know, about this show, saying that how they're always accessible to people even when they're really, really not, or when they should not be, or they don't want to be. And so we have to start speaking up, but in order to do that, you have to know who you are and be confident in who you are and get through all of the bondage that comes along in life and from our childhood. So I'm going to move on to the excessively caretaking, which was the second word that we were going to look at. The first one was, again, passive, and excessively caretaking. It just means excessively means unnecessary. So that is the other word. That is another word for excessive. Just as lifeless was one for passive, unnecessary is one for excessive. Now, I think that's kind of self-explanatory, but again, always like to give you some examples. I can remember, and I'm going to give you an example of my life. I can remember being a senior, and this is just so that you'll see and be able to acknowledge when things are not necessary, don't bother with them. Don't make them part of your life when you don't have to. And I think we do that in a lot of areas for whatever reason. But I can remember being a senior in high school and this is the example I thought of, you know, not having, it wasn't mandatory that I go to school for the entire day for my senior year. And some people just did not seem to understand why would I want to not go to school the entire day my senior year. And I'm thinking, why would I want to if I don't have to? Let me go home. Let me out. So it was not necessary. I did not need any more classes beyond right after lunchtime. I could go home. So I just thought that would have been really, for me, it would have been. But other people may not, and they did not understand, why wouldn't a senior want to be in school the entire day? Now, had I chose to do that just because other people think that I should, then I'm out of my line, because I saw that I could go to work. I can leave here and go to work and do some things for myself. But we can't get caught up in doing what others think we should do for our lives. Again, don't march to someone else's drum. So that one is a little bit more easy to dissect than just being lifeless, but still, you really need to think about even those things in your life. Before going, and I failed to mention, because if for those of you who were able to kind of read the gist of the show or the details of the show, we were going to cover many areas of codependency tonight. I'm going to stop it with just the initial part, trying to get you to identify with the word and how it applies to your life before going into the patterns and the characteristics of codependency. So with that being said, going to come back next week with those patterns, and we're going to keep going tonight for sure, but we're going to come back next week with going into a lot more detail with those patterns and those characteristics. However, going to shoot some of them out to you tonight just so that you have some, or can have some thought process about it as you go further into the week and prepare to come back to next week's show. Before going any further, I want to, and I apologize for this in advance because I don't like to read you stories, but I was able to find a really, really good story that just kind of pulled me in and captured me for many, many reasons. One, because it really, really allows you to see or feel this person's life and what they were going through. I hope that it does the same for you. In addition to that, it will help you identify with how we are affected in our family, in the lives of our families, what goes on with us or what we see as a child. It really will help you see that. It is. If it's one thing I really, really want to get out, and I'm sure Tika will agree, that to allow people or help people see what children need to see or how children are affected by what happens to them as a child. More importantly, those things that happen that we don't talk about. I think so many of us as children, we grow up being taught to keep it in, not talk about it, or sometimes feel like there's nowhere or no person to go and talk about it. So that's my problem, my biggest desire outside of really getting people to grow their relationship with God. So I apologize for reading this, but I am going to read this story, so be patient with me. It's not very, very lengthy, but it has a few words in it. And I want to give the credit out because I found this on CBN.com, and it's a family, it's kind of like a Christian broadcasting network where they do different blogs about family, relationships, and so forth, anything to do with family. And this one is Dr. David Hawkins is the author of this, of a particular book that I'm going to give out and of this particular blog. So it reads, Linda was the oldest of seven and decided while still a child that it was her responsibility to bring harmony to the family. Partially due to her temperament, partially due to the circumstances of her family, she became a people pleaser, a trait she has carried since childhood. And if you remember, I mentioned being a people pleaser as part of being codependent. Linda, now 43 years old, came to see me for counseling following a painful divorce. She shared with me how she gradually lost her individuality in childhood and then perpetuated the problem in her marriage. And perpetuated just basically means she continues. She's extending it out. She's kind of bringing it into her married life, her adult life. So this says she perpetuated the problem in her marriage. She shared how she went into her marriage ready to take care of others. Being a mother came naturally as she had mothered her six younger siblings. Now, she had mothered them, although she wasn't the mother, but she had mothered her six younger siblings. She easily fell into the role of caretaker of her husband and their three children. Now that he has left her for another woman, she was particularly troubled. She goes, I don't know what to do with my life, Linda said during her first session. I never imagined being in this situation. I was married for life. I only have a part-time job, and it isn't all that gratifying to me. I've spent most of my time and energy focused on my husband, my children, and my friends. Most of my decisions were based on bringing peace to my husband and my family. Now that our kids are grown and my husband is gone, what in the world will I do? And this is from Linda. The author goes on to kind of verify Linda's journey. He says, Linda is facing a significant crisis. Not only is she facing life as a single woman, recovering from an unwanted divorce, but she has a lifetime of codependent traits from which to recover. She is tired of being codependent, a people pleaser, and wants to change. He explains more about the kind of definition and basically what I said earlier about people not really being able to relate to codependency because it was originally arrived from just kind of being with or having ties to an alcoholic. However, the term, he says, has been out for quite a while, and it does stir over into our other relationships. He also provides a few things just to kind of help you identify, and these things are from his book. The name of the book is When Pleasing Others is Hurting You. When Pleasing Others is Hurting You. Some of the things he provides in that book that help you identify with codependency. If you have an absence of relationship with yourself, codependents don't know much about their inner life. And again, that goes back to you make better decisions when you know who you are. That's no different from if you know what you want to eat before you go to the grocery store, you have a better you make better decisions about what you purchase. People that make a list and go to the grocery store, they know what they want. So if we're walking around in life not really knowing who we are and dancing to the music of someone else or, you know, the drum beats of someone else, then we don't really know who we are. I can remember when we did the show with Erica Murray, and she was saying that we're so many people based on who we are, who we are around or where we are, depends on how we react. So we can easily get lost in the shuffle by doing that, because we don't really know who we're always trying to figure out who's around or where we are in order to be what we think we should be for them, when basically we just should know who we are, and this is it. This is what you get. Love me or leave me. So the next thing is a dependency on external fixes. They try to fix and care for others or manage others' opinions of them. If I could say anything, never get caught up. That is a bad place to be as well, because you will not be able to please everybody all the time. I was able to listen to a Joel Osteen story, and this came about. I don't listen to him often, but, you know, I like him a lot. One of the listeners, due to this topic, called in and said, I was listening to Joel Osteen, and I think you should listen to it tonight when he comes on again. Actually, he told me to go online and listen to it, but I wasn't able to, so he comes on again at night. And he said, I think that you will get a lot of information out of this sermon that he preached on yesterday. So I didn't get to go online, but again, God is so good, because I was just laying around last night and I was flipping the TV, and wouldn't you know it, he was coming on. Once many things stood out, but one thing specifically, and I want to relate it to this, always, you know, trying to fix how people see you or think about what you're doing. He shared the story about an older man and a younger boy and a donkey walking. And the older man initially, and I may have this a little bit backwards, but you'll get the concept of the story. He had the younger boy on the donkey, and he was walking. That's the way he thought it would be better for him to walk than the child. Someone passes by and sees that, visualizes that. They say, what a terrible man to have the baby on the donkey, and he's walking. So he switches it. He gets on the donkey and allows the child to walk. Someone else passes by. What a terrible man. He has the baby walking, and he's on the donkey. Okay, so now they're both on the donkey. Someone else passes by and says, what a terrible man to put such weight on the donkey. So to get the idea is people see what they see, and they interpret it because of who they are, not because of who you are. So we need to realize that how someone else thinks or what they think about what you're doing is really irrelevant. And again, within reason. I'm not saying that you just totally turn everybody off and don't communicate and try to learn more about yourself. So I'm not taking it to the extreme. But I thought that was a wonderful, wonderful example. Got many other things from that story or his sermon last night, but that one really, really stood out to me, and I could relate it to this second point that Dr. Hawkins pulls out. The third thing is a lack of clarity about what you are responsible for and what is not your business. And I thought that was so put so well, because a lot of times with this trait, with this codependent trait, you just want to help, help, help. You want to do. And sometimes it's just really not our business. Sometimes we shouldn't be there at that place trying to help. And then sometimes we are eliminating or keeping people from growing, whether it's spiritually or emotionally. So another good example. Another one, an excessive dependency on others or relationships at the expense of self. I think that one's self-explanatory. I think a lot of times people that are codependent just give, and expecting the giving to generate a reaction of what they want. All the time, when sometimes simple communication with you expressing what you want or need will suffice. I've found and learned, I think, in my own life, the more you give, and you appear that everyone else is more important than you, people will tend to treat you that way. They're the ones that someone will always call because they know you're not going to say no. But you have to, again, saying no does not mean you're a bad person or anything like that. Another one and last one, a pattern of pleasing others by setting aside your own needs and well-being to your detriment. And detriment basically means harm, bringing harm to yourself. And, again, many of us do this. You could be just drop-dead tired, and someone will at the very last minute want you to do something when they could have, they've had ample time to prepare you or something. That's just total disrespect. We have to have people respect us, but we have to respect ourselves first. So just about to end this story a little bit more. And this is from the author. In counseling Linda, I explored how her early life had set her up for problems with codependency as an adult. Going back to what our children see, how they see us live, how they see us treat ourselves, and how they see us treat others as well. But that's going back to how we parent, what we see as children. How did this happen? In a codependent, dysfunctional family, children learn to set their own dependency needs aside in favor of their parents' needs. While children may believe that their parents are there for them, in fact, the parents depend on the children to meet their needs. Let's listen again to Linda's story. She says, my dad was a heavy drinker, and so he was either out drinking or he and my mom were fighting. I used to think my parents were available to me, but as I look back, I can see that I learned not to cause them any problems because they had enough of their own. And that is very true for children. If we would talk to our kids more and really pay attention to how they are perceiving our lifestyle or what we're going through, we will learn a lot by just being available for conversations or taking note of the changes in their life, and so to speak. And we don't want to create codependent children. She goes on, I learned to be a caretaker for my younger siblings because my parents couldn't take care of them. So I was the good kid, the one who never caused problems, or at least she attempted not to cause any problems. So basically, Linda became overly pleasing at her own expense. She became lost, losing sight of her own passions and dreams, which is another life killer, to lose passion or sight of your passion and your dreams, and carried many of these traits again into her marriage. She learned to discount her feelings, thoughts, and beliefs. She became basically lifeless, making sure everyone around her was happy. She learned many codependent rules that, again, we've mentioned above, but I just thought, again, this was a very interesting story because, again, it just helps us to realize how, again, we are affected by the things we see and that we go through and how we affect our children. I'm just about done with the article. The last little bit here that says we are told, I think this is a very important part because religion, I think, has a lot, or the way that we've been taught religion has a lot to do with codependency as well. We are told in Scripture that the sin of the fathers will be passed down for generations. It's Exodus 20:5 and then 34 and 7. The weakness in our personalities affect people around us. Families become dysfunctional, and children lose their way. Each generation is stacked up like a multi-layered cake. Each layer impacts the next. The boundaries between generations are porous, with values and beliefs seeping through the next tier. This was important to me because I often, and I hear a lot of other people just saying, what happened to us? What is going on? Why are we here? Why are our children in this state? Why are grown-ups in this state? And
I think that a lot of it is because we've just stopped taking care of one another, so to speak. Emotionally, we don't address things. We're not honest. We're not true to one another. We don't attend. Parents are not parents, you know, as we knew them and so forth. Easily, grandparents can be 30 years old today, 35 years old today. I cannot imagine being a grandmother at 35. I'm still trying to really learn how to get this parenting thing right, still to this day, still trying to learn how to get it right. So I thought that was very, very, very interesting to bring the word into it about the generations and the sins of our fathers being passed down. Lastly, he goes on, fortunately, these patterns can be broken once we recognize them and set out with God's help to change them. The key is to be mindful of these dysfunctional patterns and the impact they currently have on our lives. Mindfully, we have to acknowledge these patterns. And again, that is something that I think we don't do a lot. Romans 12 and 10 also says, or it relates to, aren't we supposed to honor one another above ourselves? And that's where I think religion comes into it again. I think we misinterpret so much of the word, because I truly believe you can't do much of anything for anybody unless you do help yourself. That's why they tell us if I don't hate to use this example, if you're on an airplane and your child is there, you know, put on your mask first, because if you're trying to save your child or whomever is with you, but you don't have the gear, we're all going down. You know, you can't do anything for me and I can't do anything for you. So you have to be able to take care of who you are first. And who are you going to give advice to if you don't really know who you are and got all that together as well? So that was that story, and again, I just want to make sure, since I use so much of it, I just want to make sure that you all know this is a part of CBN.com, the book When Pleasing Others is Hurting You, and it's a book written by Dr. David Hawkins. Just another brief example, I was listening to a pastor, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of this pastor or even where he was from, but the name of the church I do remember was Fellowship Church, and I do believe it was out of Texas. He was bringing the example of how we have the saying where a rich man, it will be easier for a donkey to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into, you know, the kingdom of heaven. And he made this, I've never heard it quite put this way, how we've misinterpreted that scripture. And after going back and listening and reading up on it, that's why it's so important for us to not just take the verse, but also read the chapter, read the Bible, read the word, and pray for your own discernment. Because I'm saying that because I think this nature of caring for people have gone excessive, because we look at some kind of way as this is proof of me going to heaven, or if I do this, if I really take care of these people and put them before me, that this is a sure ticket into heaven. And we all know, or we've learned later, that it's not what we do that will get us into heaven. It's not just our works that we do for others that will get us into heaven. And most times what we're doing are things, particularly if you know that there are things that you don't want to be doing anyway. So I hope that story helped you all. Again, from CBN.com, the name of the author is David Hawkins. He has several other books, but the one that this came from, or some of the information came from, When Pleasing Others is Hurting You. Some other books, again, I want to give out as much about him because I've used so much of his material. Some other books are, let's see, 9 Critical Mistakes Most Couples Make. So for those of you who are married and you want to read something that will help your marriage, again, 9 Critical Mistakes Most Couples Make. Another one is Saying It So He'll Listen. This is a guy that I think I'd love to have on the show, but that's another one, Saying It So He'll Listen. And Does Your Man Have the Blues? So ladies probably will want to read that one more than the others. But after reading his article, I said we have to at least try to get him on the show. So Tika and I will hopefully work on that. Going back to the show. And just let me check the lines. I'm sorry, I got kind of tied up into that story. If you do have a question or a comment, please feel free to go ahead and select the number one. I am going to go to the lines. I'm not sure if this was a mistake because some of you had the number selected right away. And so I'll go on and see. We do have caller from, and I believe this is Stacy, 615-6722. Stacy, did you have a comment or a question?
I texted you and said that I'm busy at the moment.
You selected the number in Era.
Yeah, it pushed. Yeah, my pocket pushed number one.
Okay. Well, do you have anything? So you're good. No comments or questions.
No comments or questions.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm gonna put you back in queue. Thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
Okay, again, the lines are open, so if you do have a question or comment, and I really, 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 really want you guys to give some feedback on this. As we say all the time, this is not just about us. Although we are growing and we give examples of our own lives, it's not just about us. This really is about all of us growing, connecting and growing together. And believe it or not, when you share your stories, they do help. A lot of people won't come on and they don't feel comfortable talking. I appreciate the calls that come in before the show and after the show, but there's no one better to give your story. There's no one better to really say what you've gone through or how you feel. And as I shared, the caller that called in, one particular one that called in yesterday, you know, she realizes how much she needs to change some things and that she needs to put herself first and stop trying to be everything for everyone else and just say the right things, do the right things for everyone else. And it's really healthy for, I'm going to go into this a bit more, it's really more healthy for your children, those of you who are parents or role models, it's really more healthy for your kids to see you taking care of you. After hearing the story and hearing the definition or description of codependency, I just want to put out there, do you understand, or make sure you understand that I said this, the importance of family and the importance of being whole, importance of being complete and happy, particularly when you're a mother or father, because, again, that helps us to raise healthy people. And it's not always going to be perfect, and you can do everything right and you still get what you get sometimes, but if it is our responsibility to set that course and to not be codependent parents. Saying that, I want to ask even a more important question. Do you feel, after hearing all this, do you feel that parents can be codependent? Because a lot of people really think that, you know, no, that's just being a parent. But I think that we can go overboard, or parents can go overboard in that caretaking or that parenting role. Going back to another example, I spoke with Brandon about this today, just in covering this topic and kind of listening and to my own heart and my own thoughts, I could see where I was that codependent parent, mainly because a number of reasons, but mainly because, and we do it out of love, but some of it was out of fear, not wanting Brandon to make the same mistakes that I felt that I had made. So you try to just have them walk this straight line. But I described it to Brandon as I felt like I had my fingernails in him constantly, 24/7, always trying to be in control. And yes, that is a part of parenting, but just as if we think about it, you know, yes, kids need to be nurtured. They need to be taken care of. However, as they grow, as they mature emotionally, it is our responsibility to be healthy and whole and not so emotional to the point where, and trust God, that we can back off and allow them to become the individual that they are. And in order to do that, we have to allow them to know who they are. When we are codependent, I think that just makes them be the same way because they rely on us for everything, for their decision-making. and so forth. And the same with being so passive. I mean, I've known people that are so passive until it just makes me angry. I've known some parents this way. They seem so passive to where it's like that they don't do enough of the caretaking. That like things that just should come kind of natural should just don't, because they've taken on this pain. They've minimized this pain so much until it's taken over. It's just taken over their lives, even in the way that they're parents. So it could go both ways. But again, I realized that a lot of my parenting skills was because of some of the things that I had suppressed in, and the things that I didn't want Brandon to do, and all of that. So you have to look at it in a well-rounded way. And again, keep in mind that it is much better for a child to see the parent taking care of themselves, not putting people before people's needs before their own. And I don't want anybody to feel like, you know, we're saying here you have to be this mean person or not do anything for anyone. But the key words to that is overly passive, excessive. And again, we don't want to do anything excessive, and you do want to take care of who you are and know who you are and allow people to respect you because you respect yourself. Okay, I'm going to go back to the lines, and I see that we do have someone in our chat line, so I want to make sure that I get all questions and answers taken care of. I'm going to go to the line. I see that we have another caller, and this is one of the ones that came on first, but I just want to make sure that they don't have a question or a comment. We have a caller, and I believe this is from Atlanta, Diane from Atlanta, 770-8021. Did you have a question or a comment? Diane, are you with us? Okay. Just going to put it back on hold. I think that was the area. Just remember, you only need to select the number one if you do have a question or a comment. And summing up, what I want everyone, I'm not going to go into the second part, patterns and characteristics. However, I do want to just point out a few key things about some of the patterns and some of the characteristics because, again, as I said earlier, we want you to take some of these things back now that you kind of have some idea of what codependency is and how it can affect not just your life, but the lives of the people that are important to you and that you love, generally in your families and again, work relationships, friendships and things like that. So it's not just about alcoholics and just people that are a part of that world. So some of the characteristics and patterns are denial, low self-esteem, and as I mentioned to you earlier, one of the callers kind of related to me that in kind of doing her thing about her life and researching what's going on with her life, she realized that there were some self-esteem issues. But denial is one of them, low self-esteem patterns, compliance patterns, and control patterns. What I want to do is just throw out a few things about denial, about low self-esteem. And what I want you to do as I go through these, try to determine if they fit or where they fit into your life or the lives of the people that you love, because it's not just about us changing. It's about family changing so that we can raise better children. Again, we can be families that stay together and just create this, eliminate, I guess I should say, this dysfunction that has just kind of taken over. So under the denial, and again, these are patterns and or characteristics of codependence. And then I'm going to do just a short series or a few questions on are you codependent, so that it will kind of help you determine where this fits in your life. Under denial is basically do you have difficulty identifying what you're feeling, or do you minimize, alter, or deny how you truly feel? Let's see, do you take care of others? I've said that many times tonight, before you take care of yourself. Do you mask your pain in various ways, such as anger, humor or isolation. I think that one's really important because I think a lot of people do that in certain ways. You either get really, you're either really angry or you really make light of the situation by being the most funniest person in the room to mask the pain or the hurt, or in some ways you isolate yourself. So I think that's a very important. I'm not going to read them all. I express negatively or aggression in indirect and passive ways. So you're either negative, very negative, or you're very aggressive, but sometimes in very passive ways. I do not recognize the unavailability of those people to whom I am attracted to. I think women probably would be more so, can more identify with that, just not being able to recognize those people who are really not available to you. We just continue to give, and that person is totally unavailable, and it's all about them. So that's under the denial. Basically what they're saying is you're in denial about a lot of things, and you are creating some truth to some things that are really not what you think they are, in most cases what you know they're not. Under low self-esteem, a couple of them are, I have difficulty making decisions. I am embarrassed to receive recognition, praise, or gifts. I value others' approval of my thinking, feelings, and behavior over my own. That should never be always. Of course, we should always listen to people, and again, as I said earlier, sometimes there's some truth to what people are saying, and sometimes they're not. You have to thank people and move on either way, if it's for you or if it's not. I constantly seek recognition that I think I deserve. I have difficulty admitting that I made a mistake. I need to appear to be right in the eyes of others and will even lie to look good. I'm unable to ask others to meet my needs or desires. That is a very, very important one as well. I'm going to read that one again. I am unable to ask others to meet my needs or desires. I think that it is always our responsibility or your responsibility to tell people what you need from them, to communicate what you need from them. Because, again, the example we used early on, if you are saying, we can go where you want, when someone asks you, where do you want to go eat, what do you want, if you're saying, it doesn't matter, go on, what if that person really feels like it doesn't matter to you, that you're just this person, that you're this carefree person, and hey, Tammy's cool. She'll go where we want. It doesn't matter to her. Sometimes they may not even ask you because they already know what your answer is going to be. So it is always your responsibility, always, to communicate what you need from someone. That is really hard to do. I'm with you on that. But still, it's our responsibility. I look to others to provide my sense of safety is another one. And all of these, again, may not apply. I have difficulty getting started, meeting deadlines, and completing projects. I have trouble setting healthy priorities. The one, I'm going to back up a little bit, I have difficulty getting started, meeting deadlines, and completing projects. This also is something that I think is a really important one, because I think a lot of times, and I didn't get to cover this part, but a lot of times people that are codependent, they just create things in their life. They just, whether it's drama, they always try to find something to keep them from dealing with the pain, dealing with the pain. So whether it's excessively caretaking, or if that doesn't work, then they keep themselves so busy so they don't have time to think about what to do about their situation or what to do to change their situation. Compliance patterns, I'll read a few of those, and I went through this one and I did not mark any, but I'm just going to pick out a few. I accept sexual attention when I want love. So basically, instead of love, you accept the sexual attention and kind of replace it for love. I make decisions without regard to the consequences. A lot of people do that. I may not have marked these because all of them may be really good. I give up my truth to gain the approval of others or to avoid change. I'm afraid to express my beliefs, opinions, and feelings when they differ from those of others. I put aside my own interests in order to do what others want. We've talked about that. I'm extremely loyal, remaining in harmful situations too long. I compromise my own values and integrity to avoid rejection or anger. So that one's under compliance. There's some good ones there. The last one is control patterns. This is another good one as well. And we're going to spend time on all of these next week and go into more depth of each one of these characteristics and patterns so that hopefully we'll be able to more identify, or you'll be able to identify if any of the traits are part of your life. Is there any of them that you can identify more with that you feel that you need to change if you feel like there's some codependency in your life? Control is a few of them from there. I become resentful when others decline my help or reject my advice. I lavish gifts and favors on those I want to influence. I have to be needed in order to have a relationship with others. I use charm and charisma to convince others of my capacity to be caring and compassionate. I use blame and shame to emotionally exploit others. I refuse to cooperate, compromise, or negotiate. I adopt an attitude of indifference, hopelessness, authority, or rage to manipulate outcomes. I pretend to agree with others to get what I want. That's just a few. There's plenty more that we'll go through next week. The last one is avoidance patterns. I allow my addictions to people, places, and things to distract me from achieving intimacy in relationships. And notice it says to distract a person from, or distract you from achieving intimacy in relationships. And that's just part of being afraid of relationships, of commitment, and so to speak. So avoiding it allows you or makes you avoid things that really, really matter to you. I use indirect and evasive communication to avoid conflict or confrontation. Basically, that's, you're not saying what you mean. You're not saying what you mean or meaning what you say. You're just trying to appease the person or the situation rather than being direct and say what you feel or what you need to say. Another one is I suppress my feelings or needs to avoid feeling vulnerable. Many people do that and expect the person to be able to understand what they want or know what they want. But if you're suppressing your feelings and your needs, and if you appear that you don't know what they are, how in the world do we expect someone else to know? I pull people toward me, but when they get close, I push them away. Another very important one, I think, again, that's just fear of intimacy, fear of commitment. So these are just things that hopefully will help you to see how things like this, codependency, never would have thought there were so many things that kind of relate to your own life or could potentially be the reason that even that you fear commitment, fear relationship, fear being vulnerable to someone, just so many things. And that's why it's so important to really think about what's going on with your life, understand the meaning of words and things, because how many times, I'm sure everybody's heard the word codependency, but how many times have we really, really just thought, what is codependency? It would have never been a topic had I not heard someone just mention it and think, wow, for whatever reason. But you really have to take control over your life and really find out who you are, what makes you you, what things you want to eat. Sometimes when someone asks you, be able to say, you know what, let's go eat Italian food. Say something. You need to practice speaking up, speaking out for who you are, but you have to know who you are first. Don't be a people pleaser. Don't always try to do the things that you know in your heart you don't want to do, and sometimes it's not even good for you to do for someone else. So in summing it up, I just want to ask a few questions, and this is under Are You Codependent? And this comes from a site that I really like to use. It's called Recovery Man, recoveryman.com. A lot of good information on there. A lot of times we spend a lot of time on the computer. We're under this and that. You know, we can take some time to really search some things out and try to find out, again, who we are. You know, start searching some the way you're feeling, or start reading more. Reading, you know, books. Step out of your box a bit and start reading if you need to, but just do something. So, in summing up, I'm going to ask the quite a few questions. Are you codependent? If you want to get some paper and get a pen and kind of jot some of these things down, I really, really wish you would, because, again, they are some good ones, and it'll help you kind of do some searching on your own before coming back to the show next week. Are you codependent? Do you feel responsible for other people, their feelings, thoughts, actions, choices, wants, needs, well-being, and destiny? Do you feel compelled to help people solve their problems or by trying to take care of their feelings? Do you find it easier to feel and express anger about injustices done to others than about injustices done to you? A very, very important one. We should stand up for ourselves just like we stand up for anybody else. Do you feel safest and most comfortable when you are giving to others? Do you feel insecure and guilty when someone gives to you? We've mentioned that one before. Do you feel empty, bored, and worthless if you don't have someone else to take care of, a problem to solve, or a crisis to deal with? That one's really, really, really important. We do have people that if there's nothing going on, they will create something. If there's no drama, they will make some drama. If there's no one to take care of, if there's no one sick, they will make a child sick. That's important. Do you feel empty, bored, and worthless if you don't have someone else to take care of, a problem to solve, or a crisis to deal with? Another one, are you often unable to stop talking, thinking, and worrying about other people and their problems? Even, I want to stop on that one for a minute, because even with, as a parent, we should not be so consumed with always thinking, you know, or worrying, what's going on now, what's wrong, you know, is something wrong? That's unhealthy. That's unhealthy. That's not having faith. That's not trusting God. So, but there are people that really go through that in their lives, and it's unfortunate, and it can be changed. Do you lose interest in your own life when you are in love? I must say that this is probably, that one's probably more for the ladies than it is the men, and not being biased about it, but again, most women, a lot of women, I think, do lose interest in their own life, and we just read the story tonight where we, you know, a lot of people just kind of put everything in, and we should be there for our families, but, you know, you have to be able to be happy yourself and have your own dreams as well. Do you stay in relationships that don't work and tolerate abuse in order to keep people loving you? I'd like to add, we also do that sometimes in order to feel like we are not hurting the other person. So another dysfunction, that we'll stay in relationships and tolerate abuse in order to keep that person or feel like that person loves us. And to add to that, we'll stay because we don't want to hurt that person or feel like we're hurting that person. So we will hurt a lifetime in order to not hurt that person. We'll stay. Lastly, do you leave bad relationships only to form new ones that don't or won't work either? So those are some questions just to kind of throw out there, just to help you determine if you could potentially be codependent. And again, I think if we all just be honest about it, there's probably a little codependency, particularly people who are parents. There's probably a little bit of that in all of us, if we're really honest. Next week, we're going to spend more time on each one of those that we pulled out tonight. And again, those are denial, low self-esteem, control, compliance. So we'll talk about more of those, all of those, but we'll go more into depth with each one. I do understand that the game is on tonight, so it was our desire to just kind of keep you all for about an hour, just over that a bit. I do want to just open up the lines or tell you that they are open one more time in case anybody has something that they want to share about codependency or about something that you feel like you, after hearing this, that you feel like you may need to change in your life or something that may bless someone else. Because, again, your story, there's no better person to tell your story because they hear your passion about it, they hear your pain through it, they hear also how you've grown through it. So if not, if you don't have anything to say, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. I do ask that you visit some of these sites, recoveryman.com, particularly the CBN.com. Let's see if I can give you the full one on that. But if you go out, if you do need it and cannot find it, just please let me know. But it was a CBN.com, I believe, the family website. So feel free to look that up. I have it here, CBN.com. Yeah, and it's a family blog that is some great blogs out there. Again, David Hawkins, When Pleasing Others is Hurting You, is one of the books. Another one is 9 Critical Mistakes Most Couples Make. Saying It So He'll Listen is another book. And Does Your Man Have the Blues? And, again, I think Tika and I are going to try to find that author and maybe have him come on the show because there's so much more to learn about many of those things that he is discussing there. So without further ado, there's no one coming in to say that they have a question or comment. Again, thank you all for listening to tonight's show. Please go back and look up codependency and apply it to your life and return and tell someone about the show. We air each Monday night, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Also have some, for those of you who are locally and some other places as well, we are working on a collegiate readiness program for college students. The kickoff is going to be here in Memphis, July 16th through the 20th. If you know a college student that is going to be attending college for the fall of 2012, please direct them to the show or to our Facebook page. Again, this is a week-long session, and it will be with Erica Murray and the book, The CEO to the Power of You. It is a great opportunity for freshman students as we will work to keep in touch with them on a weekly basis for their entire freshman year. And then on a monthly basis, as long as they're in school thereafter. So, again, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback from the public here, from vendors and just people that want to sponsor it. So I ask that you all share the word on that. If you do know someone that is willing or should benefit from that or could benefit from that, please direct them to the show. Other states that we're trying to get it in is Florida. Orlando, Florida is one of the states as well, and then hopefully Virginia as well. So we're trying to target areas where there's really, and there's so many of them, in North Carolina. I'm sorry, I failed to mention North Carolina. So if you are in an area and you think that this might benefit students, we're just trying to bridge the gap between college and their high school and their college years, because we lose so many in that stage in that freshman year because, number one, a lack of planning, number two, a lack of involvement, I think. So just because they're gone, it doesn't mean that they don't need us or feel like they have somewhere to go. So that's one of the most recent things that we're working on, and we're going to post some information on that on Facebook probably in the next week, probably by next Monday. So just wanted to throw that out there to you, and it's called the Collegiate Readiness Program or the College Readiness Program, and it will be here in Memphis July 16th through the 20th. Without further ado, thank you all for tuning in. I hope you all have a great night, a great week, and I hope that in some way this topic has changed your life and that you will share it with someone so that it will also change their life, which will create a triggering effect for us all. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to seeing you back here next week, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, as we complete this topic on codependency. Thank you, and have a good night.